Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Want to dedicate today's shir lizchus for Shlema for Shragi Yehuda ben Chayefega. One of our chevra getting a procedure done today. It should all go well. Be'ezras Hashem. Today's daf is again Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We're going to begin with a discussion of how you can tell from a person. Yesterday we discussed old age and we discussed death and right after a person's death. So we're going to begin with a discussion of how we can tell from a person's funeral whether he's going to Olam Haba or not. And then the parak is going to conclude with a message of the importance of being ready to die at any moment by making sure that our neshamos are always pure and that that we're always ready to go to Olam Haba. And that's going to be at the end of the 23rd parak. And Be'ez Hashem will begin the last parak of Masechta Shabbos, which begins with a discussion of somebody who's traveling when Shabbos starts and how he should deal with his wallet and other muktzah items and items that he may have found along the way. And the Gemara provides a hierarchy of preferences of who and what to put a wallet on when Shabbos starts in order to save the wallet and in order not to be Mechal Shabbos. Then we discuss another option of what to do if you're carrying a package on your shoulders when Shabbos starts. And the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of the punishment for leading an animal on Shabbos. We're going to discuss Mechamer, leading an animal on Shabbos. So we left off on the top of Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph, but I rushed through at the end and it wasn't clear at all on the last few lines, the last story. So let's just read those last few lines again. So about four lines from the bottom of the page. Amalei Ahu Tzeduki Rabbi Avo. Tzeduki said to Rabbi Avo, Amrisu Nishmasan Shal Tzadikim Genuzas Tachas Kisei HaKavod. You said that the neshamos of Tzadikim are protected, hidden away under the Kisei HaKavod. Remember we discussed yesterday where the neshamos of Tzadikim go, where the neshamos of Rasha'im go, and where the neshamos of Beninim go. But Tzadikim are under the Kisei HaKavod. So Uva Tamya Hecha Aski L'Shmuel B'Negida. That Baal Ov that was able to bring back Shmuel. He was able to bring back the neshama of Shmuel to converse with Shaul. In the story in Navi, when Shaul had nowhere to turn because the Urim V'Tumim wasn't talking to him anymore, and because he couldn't go to Kohanim after he killed out an entire city of Kohanim, and he didn't have a Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't have anyone to any way to communicate. So he went to a Baal Ov to get advice, and the Baal Ov brought back the neshama of Shmuel. How is it able to do that if the neshama of Shmuel was already gonuz tachas kisei hakavod? How is the Baal Ov able to bring it back? So Amalei hasam b'toch shnei masar chodesh havi. He says, no, that story was b'toch shnei masar chodesh, and that's why he was able to do it. The Tanya kol yud beis chodesh gufo kayim v'neshmaso olav yaredes. That for the first 12 months after a person dies, the body is still intact somewhat, and the neshama goes back and forth between goes up and down. La'achar yud beis chodesh haguf batel v'neshmaso olav v'shoveni yaredes. It's only after 12 months that the guf is batel and the neshama remains tachas kisei hakavod. The neshama is ola, it never comes down again. So this was within 12 months of Shmuel's death. Frek Tosos, is it true the neshama never ever comes down again? Afal pi kein kashi rotze hi yoredes. Says Tosos, not true. When it wants to, it could still come down. Ki eidila elder avachi bar yoshia uki maestad rabbi b'na'a d'cheskos habatim davam etzayin ma'arasa ki matala ma'arasa davram avinu ashkeche leliezer ever avram d'koyi abava amalei maiko avid avram v'chulei amalei ne'el v'nesi. So the story goes in Masechus Baba Basra when they were marking off graves and he came to a certain cave and he saw Eliezer Ever Avram guarding the cave, and he said, "What's Avram Avinu doing right now?" And he said, so they had a whole conversation about what were these neshamos doing out of Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So Afal Pish Neshmos Lo Gnuzim Mitachas Kisei HaKavod. Nevertheless, when the souls of Avram and Eliezer wanted to leave from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, they had the ability to leave from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, even the Achar Yud Beis Chodesh. Says the Gemara further now, top line of Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Avi Debrei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmei Derav Measpedo. You could tell from a person's hesped whether the person is a ben olam haba or not. Eini, Frektigmar, is that really so? Varmalei Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, meaning apparently the way to tell is if people are crying at the hesped and the people are moved by the hesped, so then you know that that is a ben olam haba. That's what Rashi says. If he was an adam kosher, everyone's bochen olav, moridin d'maos, misaprim shivcho. They're talking about how great he was. They're crying over the loss. So that's how you could tell if he's a ben olam haba. Abba. So I asked the Gemara, Eini, is that really so? That's the indicator. Va'amrle Rav l'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Didn't Rav tell Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Achim behespedo tohasum ke'imna, that you better give a warm hesped for me because I'm going to be standing there the whole time. So the implication is that he needed to warn him that you better give a warm hesped. But Rav presumably was a gavur rabba, was a ben olam haba. So why does he have to tell him? It'll come naturally. Mehespedo shaladam. Sounds like Rav was at risk of not having a proper hesped. But if it's a telltale sign that a person is ben olam haba from the hesped, why would Rav have to give any such warning that he has to that he has to be masped improperly? So lo kasha. Had mecham leva achim, had mecham leva lo achim. Says the Gemara, no, there's a difference. Really, you do need to give a warm, proper hesped, and then if that's done, if and people are crying and people are talking about how wonderful the person was, that's how you know he's a ben olam haba. But if there's no warmth to the hesped, if the hesped is not given properly, the fact that people are not crying is not an indication that he's not a ben olam haba. That's like a quadruple negative. When the crying of people is not necessarily going to be the indication of whether he's a ben olam haba or not, unless you have someone that's giving a proper hesped. Good. So that's why he said that's why he had to give a warning to give the proper hesped. It's interesting. He uses the lashon dahasam ka'imna, because I'm going to be standing there at the hesped. The Balei Hadrush, Sefer Eitz Yosef on Agados Hashas, and other svarim point out that in Olam Hazeh, a tzaddik is considered a holech. He's always going from one madriga to the next. He's always moving. He's always accomplishing. When a person dies, he's omed. He's considered to be standing in one place because hayom laso some lemachar lekabel scharam. When we're alive, we have the ability to do mitzvos and to accomplish. After a person is dead, so he could be mekabel schar, but he can't accomplish anymore. So therefore, if people are mischamim al yidei the hesped, if people want to be chozer b'tshuva and they want to try to emulate the midos of the person who died, so even after he dies, he's causing people to change the way they act, to do tshuva and to become better people. So every good act that they do, he has a chelek in. So that's what maybe the lashon over here. He says you should give a proper hesped to hasam ka'imna, because in that olam I'm going to be standing. Otherwise, I'm going to be standing still. I'm not going to be accomplishing. I'm not going to be growing, and I want to be able to grow through the hesped. That's the ha'ara of the Eitz Yosef. Now the Shor Mitzion Balacha adds a different ha'ara about the mile of a hesped, is that the Gemara in Yuma Daf Peivav goes through the Dalit Chiluke Kapara, that what a person has to do in order to achieve kapara for various averos, and with each level of kapara there's tshuva that's associated with it. That a person violates an asay, has to tshuva, los asay, there's also tshuva, even krisus, mitzvahs that you chayv karis for, if he's mechal l'ashem, tshuva's tola misa mimarekes, that the tshuva will not accomplish everything, he needs to wait for misa. Sometimes a person dies and the tshuva wasn't enough. It wasn't the proper shear of tshuva because the person wasn't capable. He was too weak to do tshuva properly. He simply didn't have the fortitude to do tshuva properly, the focus to do tshuva properly. So maybe having other people do tshuva through his hesped will be mashlim whatever tshuva he's lacking. If the person needs to get this full kapara, he's going to need to do it with tshuva. And perhaps this idea that tshuva can happen, that encouraging others or causing others to do tshuva will be mashlim whatever tshuva that person himself was lacking. Says the Gemara further now, 6 lines in, Amalei Abai L'Rabba Kigon Mar Disanulei Kulupum B'Disai Manach Nespeda. Abai says to Rabba, I'm worried about you. Everyone in Pumbedisa hates you, so who's going to give a proper hesped for you? So Rabbi said, don't worry, you're going to give a good hesped for me, and so is Rabbi Bar of Chanan, and that's going to be good enough, because you guys are going to give a good hesped for me. Why would the whole Pumbedisa hate Rabbi? That seems very odd, considering how great Rabbi was. Says Rashi, not odd at all. Mishum d'mochiach luhu b'mili d'shamaya. He was always giving mussar, and since he was always giving mussar, people didn't take well to it, so some people always criticize him for giving Musa. That's what the Gemara in Ksuba says, Daf Kofei, the Mitzvah Eson quotes in the back of the Gemara, that if you have a rabbi who's too well-liked, that everyone always loves him, says what a wonderful guy he is, it means he's not giving enough Musa. It's a sign that he's not doing his job. So sometimes it's okay not to be so popular, because he has to, it's his job to be mochiach the people. Who is someone who's a ben olam haba? Amalei vaznecha tishmana davar me'acharecha lemar zah derech lechubo kisa aminu v'chisas me'ilu. It's someone who you hear after he's gone that people are talking about which midos of his to emulate and how to act in the way that he acted. Such a person is a ben olam haba. Rabbi Chanina amar kol shadas rabbi seinu nochei menu. Anyone who's rebeim were pleased with him, that's a person who's a ben olam haba. This v'savu b'shuk hasoftim b'nei galila amri asei dvarim lefnei mitascha. The B'nai Galil say, you should do something that's going to affect lefnei mitascha. It's going to affect those that are in front of your coffin. B'nai Yehuda amri asei dvarim la'achar mitascha. Do things in life that will affect how people talk behind the coffin. V'lo pligi. Marki Asrei. They're not arguing. Everyone's talking about, make sure you live a life in a way that when they speak at your hesped, you're going to give them material that's going to be meaningful material for the hesped, but they had different minhagim of where they gave the hesped from, lefnei the mita or liachar hamita, but it all means the same thing. Tanan Hasan, Rav Lezer Omer, shuv yom echel lefnei misascha. Rav Lezer says a person should do tshuva one day before he dies. So Shaul Talmidus Rabbi Lazar, V'chiyadim Yodea Ezu Yom Yamus, do people know when that is? What day he's going to die? Amalein V'kolshkein Yashav Hayom Shema Yamus L'machar V'nimta Kol Yamav B'tshuva. That's exactly the point. So do tshuva today, because you never know. Tomorrow might be your last day. So you always want to, and that way, if you're always thinking along those lines, so every single day a person is going to be doing tshuva. V'av Shlomo Amar B'chachmasa B'kol Eis Yubagadech L'veinim Shem El Rosh Chal Yechzar. At every moment you should have your clothing should be clean and white and pristine, and there should be oil on your there should be sufficient oil on your head, meaning we should always be ready to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, mashal the melech shezimin es avadim l'su'udah v'lo kavalem zman. It's like a mashal to a king who invites his avadim to a su'udah, and he doesn't tell them when the su'udah is going to be. He just says there's a su'udah coming up and you guys are invited. So the smart ones get themselves all dressed up, and they get showered and they shave, and they're all ready to go, and they're standing right by the doorway to the palace, because they know does the melech lack the ability to put a suda together quickly? He could do it as quickly as he wants, so we have to be ready, even though we haven't seen catering trucks yet, we haven't seen now the preparations could happen instantaneously. Now the fools go and do their work. They say, it takes a while to put together a feast. It's not going to happen quickly. We'll have plenty of time. And then it creeps up on a person suddenly. All of a sudden, the king opens the doors and says, okay, now everyone in. So the wise ones come in and they're all ready. But the fools go in and they're all dirty. So the king is pleased and happy to greet the wise ones, and he's angered to greet the fools. Amar halal shakishra satsman l'su'udah yeshvu v'yochlu v'yochlu. And he says those who prepared themselves for the Suda and who got dressed up for the Suda, they should sit, they should eat, they should drink. Halalu shalokish ratzman l'suda yamdu v'yiru. And the ones that did not prepare themselves for the Suda, they need to stand on the outside and just watch everyone else eat. Everyone else enjoy the Suda. Chasanul shel Rabbi Meir, Mishum Rameir Amar, Af Hei Nirin Kemishamshin. So the Chasanul shel Rameir says in Imre Meir, that's not a good enough punishment. That's not embarrassing for them to stand on the side. They look like Mishamshin. They look like they're waiters. They look like they're serving at the Suda. That's not so terrible. Ella, rather, what's going to happen is Elu ve'elu Yoshvin, Halalu Ochlin, Valalu Re'evin. That everyone's going to sit at the table, but only the Pikhin are going to be able to eat. The Tipshin aren't going to be able to eat. They're going to be starving. Halalu Shosin, Valol Tzmein. Only the Pichim are going to be able to drink. The other ones are going to be thirsty. Shemar Komar Hashem Hinei Avde Yochlu V'Atem Tiravu Hinei Avde Yishtu V'Atem Titzmu Hinei Avde Yeronu Mitov Lev V'Atem Titzaku Mikeev Lev. That while the Avde Hashem are going to be sitting at the Suda, eating, drinking, singing, enjoying themselves, those who are not Avde Hashem are going to be sitting at the Suda, starving and not being able to drink anything, and they're going to be crying out because of heartache, having to watch the tzaddikim. This is a glimpse, this mashal apparently is a glimpse into what Olam Haba is like, that everyone's sitting around a large table, meaning on some level, that everyone is sitting around a large table with all of the types of enjoyments, whatever su'uda we associate with food, but whatever kinds of spiritual enjoyments there are in Olam Haba, and the tzaddikim are going to be able to enjoy it, and the punishment of the rishayim is not being able to partake, not being able to participate in the enjoyment. And why does it happen? Because they always assume that there's more time to do tshuva later, that they'll always have an opportunity to do tshuva later, they'll always have an opportunity to be misak in the masim and to learn more later and to do more chesed later, and they never know, it always comes pitom, even when it's not so sudden, it's always the person's health deteriorates before he expects it, but it's always pitom, it's always a surprise. Person doesn't know when it is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to call him in to finally meet him. Now, so we mentioned this idea that a person should do tshuva one day before he dies. So there is an interesting tshuva in the Divrei Malkiel, in the Chelek Vav, Tshuva Yud Aleph, where he was asked about a person who did everything wrong in life. He married a non-Jew, and he had non-Jewish children with her, and he didn't observe any of the mitzvahs, and completely left the Jewish community. And then, right before he died, he wanted to say, a Jew spoke to him and said, maybe you should say vidui. And he said, you're right, I should. And they called someone in to help him say vidui. He didn't have the koach to say vidui, but he said Shema Yisrael. He said Hashem Elokim 7 times. So they want to know, such a person, do you bury him with a proper Jewish burial in a proper Jewish cemetery if that's the way he went, with Shema Yisrael on his lips and Hashem Elokim? Is that a sufficient tshuva? Says the Divrei Malkiel, Pashut Tahavi Tshuva. Absolutely, that's tshuva. Imrak yada perish hamilos me'apsukim shamram. As long as he understood what he was saying, if he's makabel of malchus shemayim, achtus Hashem yisparach, and accepted that Hashem runs the world, that's it. This isn't the strongest tshuva. The way tshuva is supposed to be done, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, is when the person has the same koach that he had when he was doing the Averos, and he has the same taiva, so that's tshuva gemura. He manages to overcome that taiva even when he's still youthful and he still has the ability to do those Averos. Yes, that's tshuva gemura, but this is also tshuva. Tshuva could be even behirur. We find the Gemara tells us that a person is mekadesh nishal menasha nitzad gamur, even if he's a rasha gamur, she's mekudeshes, because we assume shemihir tshuva belibo. Even hirur tshuva is enough. So a guy is going and saying Shema Yisrael, he's saying Hashem Uel Kim. That's enough, even in the last moment of a person's life when he does tshuva. It's meaningful. So you see just how important it is, the great koach of a person saying, of being makabel of Malchus Shemayim, even in the last few moments of his life, even when nothing else he did was really right. The Maharil in Hilchos Aseres Yemei Tshuva says that there's another reason why we have to do tshuva every single day. He says because in Yemos HaMashiach it's going to be too late to do tshuva. So since we're hoping for Yeshua B'Kol Yom, meaning that we don't have to be so negative that we have to do tshuva every day because we might die at any moment. Even if we're thinking positively, that it's not that we might die at any moment. Mashiach might come at any moment. Yeshua might come at any moment. Yeah, but then it's going to be too late to do tshuva. So someone who doesn't do tshuva, and Yavo Mashiach, Meherev Yameinu, it's going to be too late to do tshuva, and he's going to remain with the sins. So a person has to be mevakesh for the geula, and one with the way uvol tzion goel shavei pesha, right? That we hope the goal is going to come l'shavei pesha, but we have to do tshuva in order, not just in order to make that happen, but in order for that to be something that's beneficial Mishal Tas. And then the parak concludes with a different drasha from the same pasuk. We said this pasuk that a person should always have his begadim levenim, his white clothing, and shemen al roshcha al yechzar. He shouldn't lack oil on his head. So we were talking about being ready to greet the Ribbono Shel Olam. Davar acher b'chol eis yu begadech levenim elu tzitzis. V'shemen al rosh chal yechzar elu tefillin. That this is a reference to tzitzis and tefillin. The Tshuvas Marimi Brona. Marimi Brona was a German posek in the 15th century. Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen says that from here we see that a talis should be white. Because it says that it's darshing the pasuk that you should have white clothing, and it says elu tzitzis. So you see that the color of the beged of the talis is supposed to be white, and that's always been the minhag, and we shouldn't change the minhag. Now the Gos Maimonios in Ilchus Tzitzis at the end of Ilchus Tzitzis says every single color is kosher for a talis. Red, green doesn't make a difference. But and he writes there by a talis katan where we're not machmir about this, and we make it with any color would be fine for a talis katan. But that's why the overwhelming minhag Yisrael is that a talis gadol is that it's white. Now we put black stripes on it. That's a zecher to the tcheles that people put black stripes on it. Those who wear tcheles on their talis who believe that we have the tcheles. So it's a question why we still have the black stripes. We still have it because that's what we've done for many many years. But there's another reason that it should be white, and that's Shulchan Aruch says that. But it's haknaf min knaf, that there's a chumrah that l'chadchila a person should have a beged that's the same color as the strings. In fact, one of the issues that comes up with the tcheles that many of us wear is that people's, you know, the argument always goes, what do we have to lose? Even if it's wrong, so what? So it's just strings. There's nothing you have to lose. So one of the arguments goes that no, what you have to lose is that chumrah haknaf min knaf. The counter argument, because the blue strings with the white beged, you should have the strings and the beged be the same color, unless it's tcheles. Tcheles is tcheles. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you have real tcheles and it's not supposed to be the same color as the beged, it's supposed to be tcheles. But so the counter argument, of course, is if you have the option of either violating a chumrah or fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? So meaning violating a chumrah in fulfillment of a mitzvah d'oraisa, with the potential chance of fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa that's been lost for centuries, or on the other hand, not fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa and not keeping a chumrah. So and keeping such a chumrah, it would seem that the mitzvah d'oraisa should win in that equation. Okay, that's the tefillin and the tzitzis that a person should. The Maharal explains the white tefillin and tzitzis, that the mitzvah of tzitzis relates to the guf, that the guf should be ovid Hashem Yisparach constantly. The tefillin shel rosh is in place in the neshama, that relates to how our neshama should be meshubad to avodas Hashem, and that is a theme that we find a lot when you look at the Pesach Haggadah and all of the commentaries on the Pesach Haggadah, particularly the major commentaries on the Pesach Haggadah, the major Gedolim that have authored commentaries, they all talk about Shibra Nefesh and Shibra Guf. How we in Mitzrayim we were, our neshamos and our guf were in servitude to Paro and to an environment that was not proper for us, and that's what we're celebrating, the ability to be meshabed our nefesh and our guf to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's symbolized over here by the according to the Maharal, by the tefillin and the tzitzis. The tzitzis represents the guf being serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tefillin represents the nefesh, the neshama that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One more ha'ar, the Chavetz Chaim quotes this Gemara, these last few lines of the Perek, about how a person always has to be ready for Geula. He always has to be ready for the Su'udah that's going to come. So we've been talking about being ready for death, but we also mentioned being ready for Geula. Chavetz Chaim mentions that's why it's so important to learn Seder Kachim, that people have to be familiar, particularly Kohanim, with how to do the Avoda, because we keep saying we want Mashiach to come, and then what's going to happen? He's going to come, and we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to be ready to do the Avoda, and there's not going to be a single person who's going to know how to do it. No one's going to know what to do. So it's important to learn Seder Kachim, that we should have some sort of familiarity with what needs to actually get done once we have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Hadron Lach Shoel, now we begin the final parak of Masech HaShabbos, 24th parak of Shabbos. So the Masechta began with a discussion of Hotza'ah, and we sort of end with a discussion of Hotza'ah. Misha Hichshech Bederech Nosin Kiso Lenachri. A guy is walking as Shabbos is about to begin, and he's carrying items on him. He has things with him, so he should give his wallet to a guy. If he doesn't have a guy with him, so then he should put it on a chamar. He should put it on an animal. He gives the chatzar achitzon, and once he gets to the animal's courtyard of the city, so he should remove those kelim that are not mukta from the animal. And those kelim that are mukta, he should just untie the bundles and let them fall on their own to the ground, but he can't take them off directly because that's going to be a violation of tiltul mukta. So he said he put them on the chamor. The Magen Avraham Reish Lamukvav Sivkat and Vav says an Eitz Tova to give the chamor as a matana to a guy. Why doesn't it say this Eitz Tov in the Mishnah? The Mishnah just says, Manicho al Chamar. It doesn't say about giving. What's the benefit? Why would you give it to a guy? Because there's an Isser to have your own animal work for you on Shabbos. Gemara is going to discuss in Amud Beis. Since the Dar Reis of Mechamer, Achar Behemto, you're not allowed to have your own animal work for you on Shabbos. So the best idea would be to give it to a guy. Why isn't it mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Chassam Sofer points out that it's not Shaykh for the Mishnah to mention this idea of giving it to a guy, because there's a gzera midraban on the Gemara Navel Dazar Yudalar and Beis to sell a behema gasa to a guy. But we're not knowing heter on this issue. Shulchan Aruch and Yardes and Kufnun Aleph of Dalid says we're knowing heter on this issue. So we who are knowing heter on the issue of selling a behema gasa to a guy, that would be a better etza than to just stomp, put it on the back of a behema. Rashi over here says nosin kisal nachri mi ba'od yom. So and the Gemara is going to explain because Eino the Omer al Mamono, if we don't allow him to do this, he's going to come to carry a dalet amos. So the Tshuvas Rashba says, you see from here that Amir la'akum is asr even on Erev Shabbos. Because what's the implication? Why do we allow you to give it to a nachri mi ba'od yom? Because otherwise we're afraid you're going to come to carry it. What do you mean? Mi ba'od yom? It's still Erev Shabbos. Why can't I ask him to do it? It's not Shabbos yet. Elamai says the Rashba, even on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Amir lakum zasser, even on Erev Shabbos. Why? We'll see in a second. Says the Gemara, my time ashar le rabban al mesav kisil nachri. Why do the rabbis allow you to give your wallet to a guy? Isn't it Amir lakum? Says the Gemara, kimlu le rabban and they know the ma'amin atzmal mono. The rabban were certain that a person is going to not be careful. He's not going to be willing to part with his money so easily. Ilo sharis le yasli lusuy dalar amus per. So if we don't allow him to come up with some etzah of how to save his money, he's going to end up carrying it dalet amos from Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara had asked, wait a second, it's Amir la'akum. Why can you give it to a guy? Says Rashi, and what's the problem with Amir la'akum? Why is Amir la'akum aser? So there is a sheet of the smag that it's an issur d'oraisa, but the large majority of Rishonim hold that it's an issur d'rabbanan. Okay, so it's an issur d'rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan make Amir la'akum aser? So the Rambam says, well, if you ask a guy to do something, and that's okay, we're afraid you might come to do those things also. Okay, logical connection to make. Says Rashi, a different reason. So Rashi in the first wide line, Varehu shlucho lisa'enu b'shabbos, that if you give it to a guy, it's shlucho shaladim kamoso. The guy becomes your shliach. That's why Amir la'akum is aser. It's all a din in shlichus. That's what Rashi says over here, that it's a din in shlichus. Rashi elsewhere, Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, says that the fact that Amir la'akum aser is because mimso cheftzcha v'daber davar, that dibur aser, that you're not allowed to speak about malacha related things on Shabbos. So nothing to do with shlichus. It's about speaking about malacha related things on Shabbos. L'may nafkamina, whether it's daber davar or whether it's a din of shlichus, nafkamina would be, what if you ask him before Shabbos to do something for you on Shabbos? So if it's din and daber davar, when did you speak about the malacha? You spoke about it before Shabbos. There's no issue to speak about it before Shabbos. It would be fine. But if it's an issue of shlucha shalom kamosa, when he's doing the action, he's acting as your shaliach, so as long as he's doing it on Shabbos, even if you ask him before Shabbos, that would be a problem. Another nafkamina is, what if you ask him on Shabbos to do something for you after Shabbos? If it's daber davar, that should be aser, because you're doing the dibur about malacha on Shabbos. If it's shlucha shel adam kamoso, well, he's your shliach when he's doing the malacha, but that's already after Shabbos. So this is what the Avnei Nezer points out in Simen Mem Gimel. These are the nafkaminas between the two days. And Rashi, we are machmir in both directions in terms of amir la'akum. But that's the idea that it's shlichus. So Rashi says over here a din of shlichus. So everyone asks on Rashi, ein shlichus la'akum, an akum a guy is not a bar shlichus. What do you mean that it's shlichus? So The Mefarshim explain that Yeshlichus Akum L'chumra. That what Rashi is trying to say is, Ein Achinami, we wouldn't rely on the Shlichus of an Akum to be Mekel based on Shlichus of an Akum, but L'chumra were Choshesh for Shlichus of a guy. Good, so that was the issue of Amir L'Akum. The Gemara also said that the reason we have to be Mekel over here is because we're afraid that if we're not Mekel, the guy is going to end up carrying Dalarams for Shusram. So all the Rishonim are bothered by Akasha. We've already had discussions about people who were afraid that they're going to try to save their money and they're going to come to do malachas. Where do we discuss this? Kuf Yud Zayin Beis, Kuf Chaf Aleph, people saving things from a fire. So what do we say in those cases? Don't go in. We don't want you there, because if you're there, you're going to end up being Shami Yechabe. We're afraid, Adam Baal Amamono, that you're going to violate malachas. So over there, we're more machmir, because we're afraid that a person is going to try to save his money. Over here, we're more makel. We give him a little bit, because if we try to be too machmir, then he's we're afraid he's going to violate an Issa D'Oraisa. So why is it that over there we're machmir, here we're makel? The Ritva and the Ran explain that when it's a fire, it happens suddenly, and a person doesn't have time to think it through. So when it's not Shabbos and there's a fire, person quickly rushes and saves whatever he can. And when he's nechbaz ubahul, he's in a rush, so he's not going to think carefully about what he's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do. As opposed to over here, you know Shabbos is coming. It doesn't happen suddenly. You're in the car and the traffic jam is horrible, and you're staring at the clock the whole time, knowing that Shabbos is coming. And so you have time to plan it out. It's not shad d'chukalo. So if we allow certain kulas, we're not worried that the person is going to completely lose himself. But if we're not matir anything, then we're choshesh that a person is just because yetzer hara is going to get the best of him. But it's not about being bahul, it's just about the yetzer hara getting the best of him. And that's why the lashon is a little bit different. Over here the Gemara says, Ein adam mamid atzma al mamono. Over there it's adam bahul al mamono. It's the sense of bahala that we're worried about over there. That he's in such a rush, he's not going to think at all. Over here, he's going to be thinking, and his yetzer hara is going to do a lot of the thinking for him, and that's what we're afraid of, that he's going to come to violate the malacha. That's how the Rishonim explain. Says Gemara further now, Amarava, dafka kisav metziolo. It's only your own wallet that we have this kula for, but something that was just a metzio, you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to put on an animal or give to a guy. So pshita kisav tanan, of course, that's what the Mishnah says. So now I might have thought that the same is true of a metziah as well, and we just give kiso as an example. So kamash mlan, that we're dafka kiso, but not a metziah. And that's only when we're more machmir about a metziah. That's if you found it on Shabbos. But if you had this metziah from way before Shabbos, so then it's like your wallet because it's yours already. Igadamri boy Rava. Others say that Rava asked it as a shayla. Metziah bal liyado mau kiven das liyado. When a metziah was found a little while before Shabbos, so the Rava asked a shayla, does that now have the status of your own wallet because it's yours? Or do we assume no? Anything that was easy come is a little easier to part with. Anything that you just found and you didn't have to work for to earn is much easier to part with, and therefore we're going to be more machmir. Teku, in this version, we leave it unresolved, we leave it as a teku. So the first version was that it's a davar pasha, that it counts just like your wallet, and the second version is we're not sure what it counts as. Any monachri, if you don't have a guy with you, time with any monachri, hayesh monachri, lenachri yavle. Sounds like the whole reason is that any monachri, you don't have a guy with you, but if you have a guy with you, you'd have to give it to the guy. My time, chamora tometsuva al shvisaso, nachri yi atometsuva al shvisaso. Why is it that it's better to give it to a guy than to put it on a donkey? It's because the donkey, you are mitsuva on shvisas behemto. But for a guy, we're not mitsuva on shvisa of a guy. We don't have to make sure that a guy is keeping Shabbos, but we do have to make sure that animals that we own are not doing malacha for us on Shabbos. Chamar v'cheirishot v'katan. What if you have the option of either putting it on your chamar or giving it to a cheirishot v'katan? Achamar manachle l'cheirishot v'katan lo yavle. Better to put it on the chamar than to give it to a cheirishot v'katan. My time, hani adam hay lav adam. And the reason is simple. The cheirishot v'katan are people. The chamar is not a person. So certainly better to have a non human do the malacha, then a human being do the malacha for you. Cheresh v'shota, what if your options are either a cheresh or a shota? L'shota, have the shota do it. Shota v'katan, your options are a shota or a katan? L'shota, again have the shota do it. Ibailu, cheresh v'katan mai, what if your options are a cheresh or a katan? So which one should carry your wallet? I'll leave it to Reb Lazar lo tibailuch. So according to Reb Lazar, it's not a shaila to begin with. The Tanya Reb Yitzchak Amar Mishum Reb Lazar, trumas cheresh lo teitzei l'chulin meishu safek. If a cheresh is mafresh truma, we do not allow that truma to be treated as chulin. It counts as safek truma, meaning the cheresh may have the ability to be mafresh truma. So yes, a pikeach has to come and be mafresh truma again, just in case it doesn't count as truma, but we are machmir to count it as truma. So what do you see from there? That if you have the choice between giving it to a cheresh, where our shayla was a cheresh or a katan, certainly better to give it to a katan, because a katan is definitely not shayich in mitzvos, but a cheresh is at least suffik chayiv b'mitzvos according to Rabbi Lazar. So that's why according to Rabbi Lazar it's not a shayla. According to Rabbi Lazar, definitely give it to the katan. There's no doubt that the katan is not chayiv in mitzvos. Kiti baylach alib drabanan. The shayla is within the sheet of the rabbanan. Is it better to give to the cheresh or to the katan? Titnan chamish. There are five people that should not be mafresh truma, and if they do, it doesn't count as anything. This is the sheet of the Rabbanan against Reb Lazar. And Eluain, who are these five people that their truma doesn't count as anything? Cheresh. First one on the list is a cheresh. So you see that a cheresh is just like a katan. He's not shaykh mitzvahs at all. And the others are shota, v'katan, v'atarim v'sheinu shalo, v'yatarim on food that doesn't belong to you, v'nachri shatarim v'shal Yisrael, afilu Berushuso, or a guy is mafresh truma, even with the permission of the Jew whose items that he's being mafresh. And this relates to shlichus of a guy. Mamish comes up on this very same daf. Right? Why is it afilu berushuso that ain't trumas or truma? Says Rashi, afilu berushuso to shlichus mechles rabbi, mikain terimu gam atem. Gam l'rabu shluchachem, uma atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris. That the only people that are eligible to be shluchim are b'nei bris, and a nachri is not a ben bris. That's why he cannot be a shliach. It's ironic, on the same daf, that's what Rashi says, amir lakum is midin shlichus. So you see that Rashi holds that, yeah, l'chumra it's midin shlichus, but a guy doesn't really have, what does it mean, l'chumra? It doesn't mean that there is shlichus lakum l'chumra. It means midurabbanan. The Rabbanan said that we're going to allow this to be considered a shlichus, to be machmir in a person, to not allow amir la'akum. But on a d'orais level, even l'chumra, it's not shlichus. You see, the Rabbanan say that a guy who's mafresh your truma, it's not truma l'chumra. It's zero. It's nothing. It's not truma at all. So on a d'orais level. So says the Gemara Samai, so now we're back to our shayla. You have the choice. Give it to a cheresh, or give it to a katan. Who should carry your stuff for you on Shabbos? The cheresh you have laid the katan asil chal das. Should you give it to the cheresh because at least the katan one day will be a bar das, and therefore it's we should try to stay away from having him do malacha? Odumal the katan you have laid the cheresh asil chlufi begadol pikeach. Or maybe better to give it to a katan, because when you give it to a cheresh, someone might confuse the cheresh for a pikeach. Sometimes there are people that have a din of a cheresh. Someone who's developmentally disabled has a din of a cheresh, but before you have a serious conversation with the person, you don't realize. You just by looking at him, you don't realize. So a person's not going to realize when they see you giving it to a cheresh, it looks like you're giving it to a gadol pikeach. So that's the shayla. Ikadarmi le cheresh yavlei, ikadarmi le katan yavlei. So some say one way, some say the other way. Good. Some say you give it to the cheresh, some say you give it to a katan. One hour before we go further, just we mentioned before, I forgot to mention, very important halach lemaisa ha'ara, that ein ad mamon atzmal mamono, we said that because a person is not mamon atzmal mamono, we're afraid he's gonna come to carry dalet amos, so we allow him to violate certain surim derabanan of giving it to putting it on his animal, giving it to a guy, etc. The Ramban writes that from here we learn that someone who's bo listen betoch beso, that so the Ramban says someone who has people coming to his house, ganavim that come into his house, you're not allowed to hide away your money. You're not allowed to put away your money. But the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran all say, b'shem the Tosos, in the name of Rabbi Natan, that if you're afraid of listim, that it's mutu l'taltal amos kadesh yachbiu, that you're allowed to take your money and hide it away, because for hefsid, they were matir tiltal. Just like they were matir to put on a chamar, they were matir tiltal muktza if you're afraid of hefsid mamon. Yassin discusses, what if you see someone who's about to break into your store, he's about to break into your house, and you can throw rocks at him, and it'll chase him away. Not to hurt him, just to chase him away, to throw some pebbles. Now the rocks are muksa, so can you chase him away with those rocks? So what's the difference? Of course, it's the same thing. You're being metaltel muksa to save your money. So no, over here we're talking about being metaltel your money itself to save your money. Can you be metaltel other muksa to save your money? This is actually discussed in Shulchan Aruch, and in Shulchan Aruch we're makel on this issue, that you're even allowed to be metaltel other muksa in order to save your money. Okay, says the Gemara further now, what if you don't have any of these options? You don't have a nachri, a donkey, a cheresh, a shot, a katan. So now what do? The Chum had another Eitzah, they just didn't want to tell anybody. My Ura Charis Haisa, what was the secret? The Chum didn't want to tell anybody. Malicho Pachos Pachos Mital Ramos. They had this great idea that you can carry it less than Dalar Ramos at a time, and that way you will not be in violation of the Isidar Haisa. I would have to Chatzi Shir Asim in Torah. So this is where all the Achronim point out that Pachos Mital Ramos is not Chatzi Shir, it's a Chatzi Malacha. If it were a Chatzi Shir, you would just be violating several Isurim Dar Haisa by carrying a pachos pachos midal ramos. Amaylo ratzucham legalosa. Why didn't the chacham want to be megala this secret? Mishum kvod elokim haster davar kvod melachim chakar davar. V'achem my kvod elokim iko. Why is this an honor to God not to reveal the secret? Zil maasi lasuya dal ramos brishus ram. Because we're afraid if you let someone carry pachos pachos midal ramos, he's going to come to carry dal ramos in rishus ram as well. Tanya blazer amar bobi yom gadchusa. Rabbi Shua amar bobi yom machusa. So the machlokas. But on that day, the day that we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta, where there were goes of the Yurchas Davar, where this was one of them, that you're nosing Kisal and Achri, so were the numbers of Gzeros that they made a positive thing or a negative thing? So Gachusa means that Hirbus Siag the Torah B'mida Gedusha, Rashi says, V'yafamadu laharbos Gadar B'Yisrael, that they piled on in a heaping, piled on just the right amount of gzeros that the bowl will be able to handle, that Klal Yisrael will be able to handle. Machusa is the opposite, that no, they put on so many gzeros that people weren't able to handle all these gzeros. It would have been better off had they been more measured in the various gzeros that they made. Tanya, Mashal Rabbi Lazar, Ma'ad Avadoma, when Rabbi Lazar says that they did good, what's the mashal to explain how so many gzeros could be a good thing? Lukupam Leik Shun V'Diluin, if you have a box full of melons. Adam nosin l'tocha chardel v'machzekes. So you could put in a lot of mustard seeds and it will fall in between the melons and the box will be able to hold all of that and it will be fine. Mashal Rabbi Shua l'mad avadoma. What's the mashal to explain Rabbi Shua shita that they overdid it? La'riva malei advash. If you have a thing full of honey, nosin l'tocha rimon v'agozim v'makia. So then you put in fruits when the bowl is full of honey, what's going to happen? It's going to overflow. You're going to lose a lot of the honey. You're going to lose a lot of what you're trying to preserve. Amr Mar, Eini Monachri Manichu Al Chamar. So we said, if you don't have a donkey, if you don't have a guy, rather, put it on a donkey. V'alo Mechamer, V'rachman Amr Losas Kol Malacha. What do you mean, put it on a donkey? That's an Isidar Reis of Mechamer. So Amr Avad Barav, Manichu Al Kshim Al Lechas. No, don't put it on a donkey that's standing still. Put it on a donkey as it's walking. V'ayyef Shadol Kaim Lahashir Mayim Lahatil Golom Vika Akira V'anacha. But the donkey's going to stop at some point. It's going to have to defecate. It's going to have to urinate. It's going to stop. It's going to be in Akira and Anacha. It's going to be a No, so take it off before it stops. So you take it when it's walking, you put it on, and you take it off when it stops. So therefore, it never actually does the malacha of hotzah for you. Well, if that's the case, then you should be able to put it on another person. Why do you dafka have to put it on a donkey if it's never actually doing anything? Anything that if you do your chayiv chatas to have your chaver do. Is Patra Avalasar. Kol Shechaveru Patra Avalasar, Bechamor Mutal Chachila. Anything that you have your friend do is Patra Avalasar, having a Chamor do is Mutal Chachila. So it's better to put on a Chamor than another person. Amr Avad Barava, Hais Chavilasu Menuchasak Seifo, Rotz Tachtea Chamegil Abeso. If a person has a bundle on his shoulders, he should just keep running until he's Magil Abeso, until he gets home. Dafka rots, aval kali kali lo. He has to dafka run, but he can't go. We can't go slower. My time. Even the less leakera, asi lemevra akira vanacha. Because unless he's doing something that is clearly recognizably different, then we're afraid he's just going to start carrying it in the normal way, and he's going to come to do an akira and anacha. Sov kimata lebeisa yevshu delokai porta v'kamayim lishusram lishusiyachid. But still, when he gets to his house, he's going to pause a little bit, and it will be carrying from lishusram to lishusiyachid. Dezarek lekalachayad. No, when he gets to his house, he throws it off his back kelachriyad in a backhanded way. If a person violates mechamer, he has his animal do work for him on Shabbos. So if he did it b'shogi, he's chayv korban chatos like any other violation of Shabbos. If he did it b'mezid, he's chayv skila like any other violation of Shabbos. My time, we compare ata to behemtecha. Behemtecha dum yadidei. The behemoth is just like him. Mahu b'shogi chayv chatos mezid chayv skila. Just like when the person himself does a malacha b'shogi chayv chatos, he does b'mezid chayv skila. Afemtanami b'shogi chayv chatos mezid chayv skila. When his behemoth does a malacha, also if it's b'shogi chayv chatos, if it's b'mezid, the owner of the behemoth is chayv skila. Amar Rav shtei tshuvas b'davar. Rav says that's wrong for two reasons. Chadu d'chsev Torah achas yelacham losa b'shkaga v'nefesh artasa b'yad rama. Huksha kol Torah kula avod zar. We compare the rest of the Torah to avod zar in the following way. Ma avod zar davin ma'isa begufei. Hachanami adavin ma'isa begufei. Just like avod zar, you have to do it physically yourself. So too, over here, you're only chayv the full force of the onesh if you do it yourself, not if your animal does it. Va'od, another reason why it's incorrect to assume that a mechamer is chayv skila. Tanan, a mechal is Shabbos b'davar shechayev al shigas chatas v'al zdonos skila. Mechal di ikami di dein chayev al shigas chatas v'al zdonos skila. We talk about, the Mishnah talks about someone who's mechal Shabbos with the type of malacha that you'd be chayv chatas and skila for, implying that there are other things that you're not chayv chatas and skila for. Umay nihu, lav de mechamer. Isn't it mechamer that you're not chayv chatas and skila for? So Gemara says, nah, that's not a good raya. Lo tchumen v'alibid Rabbi Akiva. Could be we're talking about tchumen alibid Rabbi Akiva, that tchumen is daraisa, but you're not chayv chatas and skila for. V'avar alibid Rabbi Yossi, or if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that avar is a lav yatzis and not lechalik yatzis, so avar is only a lav. You wouldn't be chayv chatas and skila for that. That might be what the Mishnah was referring to. Okay.